Hey, that's just dads who try, dog. That's just dads who try. Team no sleep, baby. Dads who try.
All right, welcome back to another episode of Dads Who Try. Look, we got cameras, you guys. We've leveled up, and this is episode number 37. We want to say thank you so much to everyone who's liked, subscribed, reviewed, all the things for Dads Who Try. And Tommy, it's episode 37.
Boom, boom, boom. Episode 37. You already know I'm thinking about one thing. Number 37. Who's number 37? Nate, it's Troy Polamalu. Do you know who that is?
Yeah.
What is he known for?
His hair.
His long hair.
Of course.
Yep. Pittsburgh Steelers.
Man.
That's back-to-back.
I hate that we're doing back-to-back Steelers, but his hair, it's a worthy number 37.
He's iconic. He has long hair. He's the one.
If you had Troy Polamalu's hair, but it couldn't be on the top of your head, but you had to have it, where would it be on your body?
Shoot. He has long hair. And so probably on my back.
Be looking like a cape. Dude. Imagine playing Fortnite. You got that long hair. You're jumping down and it's just flowing.
Dude, if I had locks like that, I would probably get it braided for sure.
Yo, imagine having armpit hair like that.
Oh, God, no.
Armpit hair like that? Worse, nipple hair like that.
You, armpit hair for sure.
Can I be completely honest with you?
Yeah.
I don't know if I've said this before. I don't know how much I'll say it. My brother, he's 10 years older than me. He's a hero to me. I love my brother so much. And when I was little, he told me that nipples were just big pimples.
Yeah,
that you can pop them.
And you tried it?
Yeah, I definitely tried it.
And it hurt.
It hurt. They don't pop.
They don't pop for sure.
Yeah, and if yours do, you should go to the doctors.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, don't try that at home. We do not advise that whatsoever.
Yeah, hey, we just again, I want to bring up, we're on video.
Yeah, we're on video. You guys, we're not super far into this thing. We're on episode 37.
Yeah.
To say that we came a long ways is a little out there. Yeah. But we've came a decent amount of way. We're just trying to get better. And now we actually have video. You can see us in video.
If you go back to episode number 3, it sounds really bad. Like, we've leveled up the audio quality. Now we have the video.
Yeah. Like, when I'm sharing this podcast to people, I'm like, yeah, you know, start at, like, episodes, like, 18 or 19. I'm like, don't listen to the ones before because, you know, we were rookies.
Should we take off the early ones?
No, I think it...
It's fun to watch us evolve.
Yes. People love evolving, right? It's such a great thing to see people
evolve. Dads Who Try. Evolution.
Revolution.
You know, if I were to evolve and gain any character trait, or maybe not character trait, any, you know, like superpower, if I was like to have the X gene like X-Men, it would be to have Troy Polamalu's hair as my armpit hair.
Nice. Would you say you've evolved since, how old are you now?
I'm 32.
You're 32. So since, let's just say, call it 21. Since 21, how much have you evolved?
I think I've probably evolved 11 years since.
You've evolved 21. 11 years, but your, let's just say your style, the way that you are, evolved?
Wow, yeah. When I was 21, wow, faux hawks were kind of still in.
You had a faux hawk.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't just have the faux hawk. I had like the mullet.
Yeah.
You know, remember Beckham?
Oh, yes.
And Ronaldo, they used to all, dude.
We all had it. Yes. Let's just be real.
Messi.
Yep.
I was rocking that.
Okay. For how long?
Maybe for a couple of years at least. Skinny jeans were still high in fashion.
Yeah.
Instagram had just released. I know this because Instagram wasn't out when I got married.
Yeah.
And I got married when I was 20 years old.
Okay.
And that was when social media was a wild, wild west.
Yeah. So you had the faux hawk. What was like the fashion sense?
Oh, none. It was bad.
You said skinny jeans?
Yeah, skinny jeans. I mean, I'm trying to think.
What kind of sneakers?
Like I would say like Urban Outfitters.
Okay.
Kind of like the
little classic U of.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was when American Apparel was, you know, at its peak.
Yeah.
You know, I was rocking some American Apparel.
American Eagle?
Nope. You was high school. That was high school. Yep.
Dude, come on. You still had a couple pairs of jeans.
I used to love to shop at Hollister.
You were a Hollister guy.
I loved Hollister. I loved American Eagle.
Abercrombie?
No, I never got an Abercrombie.
Too elevated.
Yeah, too elevated. Let's say that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I never had like Lucky jeans.
Yeah.
That's the one with the rhinestones on the back.
No, Lucky. Yeah, yeah. It was like the Affliction shirts. You remember those?
Ed Hardy Affliction.
Did I have a couple of Ed Hardy shirts? I did.
You're wondering why you're feeling afflicted. Look at your shirt.
Okay, well, preachers, fuck. They can make anything happen.
Yo, preachers say some crazy stuff sometimes. Okay, hold on. Let me address this real quick. Maybe you guys are wondering, like, where's the studio? Why are you in this, you know, like, Tommy, you got a painting behind you.
It's like, my painting, actually.
We're recording in the kitchen to this place. We're on, like, a little Dads Who Try retreat, little getaway, and we're recording from a condo right now. My family's at the pool.
Where at?
We're in Oceanside, California.
Oceanside, California.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is beautiful. You know, we should record, since we are doing video now, Nate, we should go out to the balcony and record one out in the balcony and show them the scenery.
Maybe episode
38,
39, or 40, they might be out on the balcony.
Okay.
Also, maybe you're wondering, Nate, you're drinking protein. Yeah, because I'm trying to get these gains.
You guys, we are, we're trying to turn it all around this season.
Yeah, we're trying to get healthy.
We're trying to get healthy. So we're tracking macros.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing the whole calorie deficit thing.
Yep.
Okay. So what does that mean? We're tracking protein. We're tracking carbs. We're tracking fats. And then we're tracking calories. And you track those things. You work out 4 to 6 times a week. You're trying to lose 2 pounds a day.
2 pounds a day.
Sorry. 2 pounds a week.
Are we doing this?
Yeah. What is the ideal healthy Nate look like?
The ideal healthy Nate looks like, imagine DK Metcalf's body.
Yep. Okay.
Troy Polamalu's hair.
Okay.
Tom Brady's Uggs.
Yes.
And that's some, that's close.
Yeah.
You're close.
You kind of, you do look like DK Metcalf though. Guy's like 6'8". The most
physical specimen of all time. Look, I look more like DK Donkey Kong than I do DK Metcalf. I will say this, Tommy. I feel like you and I feel like if you were to chisel my body into peak performance, I would look like you.
I think you're on the way there.
Yeah.
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 You and I are not too far off.
Yeah, I think if we reversed, you started gaining, I started losing, we'd meet each other faster.
We'd meet somewhere between, gosh, 195.
It's been 8 years since I've been under 200 pounds.
It wasn't too long ago that I was close to 200.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, a couple years ago, I had a picture to prove it. And you guys, I was 193. Being 5'8 and 193 pounds.
Tommy.
That's thick.
Yeah, try being 5'8 and 240 pounds. Dear God, if you're thick, I'm thick.
So I was thick with about 3 C's. You're thick with about 4.
5. I'm a 5 C boy.
Okay, you're a 5 C boy.
I'm about to get down to a...
We're not talking about toddler clothes.
Look, I don't want 1 C. I don't want to be a 1 C thick. I want to be at 2 C because I want these calves to be jumping to the moon, baby.
The first thing we look at, you guys, is calves.
But truly, like, I don't know what, like, when women look at guys, like, they look at them and they go, oh, wow, their eyes are so attractive. Oh, my gosh. Their lips.
I don't know.
Like, do girls, oh, my gosh, their abs are, wow. Oh, their biceps. Guys look at each other and go, yo, those calves, though.
I don't know what girls look at on a guy that's like first thing. I will be honest with you. The first thing I just recognize in general is always the first thing is I look at people's feet, their shoes. What's on their imagine? That's the only thing. Like,
tell me.
What?
I like that you qualify that you look at their shoes.
Yes.
If you were just trying to look at people's feet, Tommy.
No, you guys, I don't have a
there's a whole feet. Industry for
I don't,
that.
I don't have a feet page only, or what is it called?
Feet. I don't know.
I'm just saying it right now. You'll never find me on a feet page.
Only feet?
Only feet. But I do watch, like, I do look, like, it's the, I don't know what it is, but yeah. I do, first thing, I look at people's shoes. What kind of shoes do you have on?
Yeah, you just asked me that about my fashion.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I said,
I used to wear, back then, I was wearing Toms.
We all had a pair of Toms.
Yeah, we all had a pair of Toms. I was wearing, like, you know, nice dress shoes and, like, I don't know, it was weird fashion, bro. Like, no one was rocking Air Force.
Gosh darn it, why did I wear Toms, man? Not that it's a knock on Toms.
I think my feet still smell from wearing Toms 10 years ago.
Dude, on a hot summer day, it's 96, my man, and you're wearing a pair of Toms with no socks on? You can't tell me, bro. Those things are good.
No.
They can't be healthy.
No.
Your feet cannot be healthy in a pair of Toms.
But listen, Tommy, every time you buy a pair, they send a pair. Like, remember when we used to buy stuff and be like, man, we're really changing the world by buying these pair of Toms. You know, I'm sure that it does change someone's world, but as if I'm making a difference by buying fashion, that's crazy.
Yeah. Let me spend $150 for these pair of Toms. How much were they actually? Like 80 bucks?
No, they're like 40. There was like the designer ones, or like the special editions that were like 80 bucks.
Oh, yeah. You know I'm getting the special dark navy ones, man.
Yo, I rock the dark navies for sure. Dude, some dark navy Toms.
You guys, I'm in a pair of khakis, in a polo, in a pair of Toms.
I'm wondering why I have foot problems right now. I freaking wore Toms for
a matter of fact, year. I wore a pair of Toms on a mission trip, by the way.
Dang.
Here I am trying to, you know, bring relief to people all over the world. Dang. In pairs of Toms and wondering why I still have ankle problems.
Truly trying to play soccer with Toms.
Yeah, let me play against these kids who've been playing soccer their whole lives, by the way, in a pair of Toms. And doctor, I honestly don't know what's wrong with my ankles. I've been in Toms for the last 6 years. And, you know, I truly don't know what's wrong.
Hold on, can I say something?
Yeah.
I recently went to Guatemala.
Okay.
And we got a chance to play soccer with a bunch of kids from this little village.
Yep.
And there was no parents in the village.
Okay.
And all the parents leave during the day to go work.
Yep.
So there's only children.
Okay.
And the oldest kid was maybe 12 years old.
Right.
And he had a broken arm. And he had no sling or anything like that. He just had to rock it broken.
Dude, you know? It's so sad, actually.
And he was the goalie.
No.
I'm dead serious.
No.
Yes.
His friends had
a broken arm. He was the goalie. Well, he like led all the kids.
Oh, God. You know,
all the kids looked up to him.
Okay. He was like the leader of the
There was
pack.
A clear leader. Yeah. Yep. You know, and there's maybe 30 kids. There's a lot of kids.
Younger.
You know, maybe from like 3 years old all the way up to 11. And he was like the oldest. And they all respected him. They all looked up to him. Like it was a clear form of leadership. No one wanted to be the goalie. So he was like, yeah, easy. I'll be the goalie. But it made me think like, dude, there was no parents, but the kids still knew what to do. They still kind of took care of themselves. You know, it was a very poverty stricken village. And so like I say that, and at the same time I'm like, you know, these kids had to grow up and take care of business at home, and we're over here going like, are my kids gonna get too much screen time?
Yeah.
You know, it's like when I grew up, dude, my parents could care less about screen time, just as long as I wasn't watching like porn when I was four. You know what I'm saying? Like
right.
The least of their worries is me watching too much TV.
Yeah.
And now we're like, we live in such like a helicopter culture. You know, I wonder like what changed? Why do we coddle our children? Are we creating weak children? Yeah. You know, like, because we're not allowing them to hurt themselves, or we're not allowing them to scrape their knees. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Bro, it's a great, you know, observation. I think, like, because even I would relate to that too. My mom was a single mom, you know, working a few jobs, and right around, so my dad left when I was 10. And so since then, bro, I mean, I was like, you know, taking care of my other two siblings. Even when I got to high school, I quit sports at a time to help my mom and kind of get a job early on. And so the last of my worries was wondering, like, do I have enough screen time for these guys? Right. Dude, to be honest with you, we enjoyed being outside.
Right.
And I don't know where the switch happened where it feels like, you know, where children are on screens now more. I think it's just the nature of, like, where our world is headed.
I will say this. When I was a teenager, I was on screens. Like, this is pre-iPhones.
Yeah.
I was playing Halo for 10 hours a day, bro.
Right.
I had a crew there.
Yeah.
And this is how we bonded.
But, again, it's a different type of screen, but it's still screen time. So I don't think if you really think about it, parents are freaking out about TV, right? Parents are freaking out about YouTube and how much screen they're getting. This isn't anything new.
Yeah.
If you really think about it, I spent a lot of time gaming as well. There was in my high school days where I would be on Halo.
Yeah, you know? You're so good at Super Smash Bros. You beat me. You must have played thousands of hours, bro.
Thousands of hours. You guys actually. Yeah, I did beat Nate. I'm just going to leave it at that. So, but if you really think about it, we all had our fair share of screens. I think the problem is now is identifying what is healthy and what is not. And I think it's hard to tell.
Yeah.
Even us creating educational content or, you know, suggestive videos on shows.
Recommended that stuff. Yeah,
exactly. You know, for every household, it seems different.
Yeah.
Everyone has their own opinion on what they want to do. Of course, do we want kids to enjoy certain things? Sure, but I think it all comes with a balance as well. As much as I want LJ and Ali to enjoy screens and stuff, I do want them to get outside as well too.
Totally.
I want them to be able to, because I think that there's something to be said about them hanging out with their friends, going out and enjoying life and, you know, not being so, I was a helicopter dad for a hot second there. You know it.
Yeah.
You saw me trying to like hover over, like, I'm like, oh man, like don't run around and get scraped. But dude, kids are going to get bumps. They're going to get bruises. We just seen your boys tackle each other and punch each other in the ribs. And
jeez,
bro, kids are going to be kids.
Yeah.
And so I understand to be protective and do all that you can, but I think that there needs to be a balance in between, you know, what that screen is and, you know, and send them outside and let them do their thing.
Yeah. Okay, maybe we can qualify for people. Like, how, if your kid is watching a lot of screen time, these are the things you should be looking for in the shows that they're watching.
Right.
You know, it's like, number one, it's not overstimulating.
Right.
So it's not cutting the shot every second. You know, it's like, what is it, Cocomelon, Little Baby Bum? Like, these are programs that are designed
to keep them
engaged,
like,
which is AKA that's business talk for keep them addicted to the screen,
right?
And so you don't want content that's overstimulating. You don't want content that's inappropriate. So that has content that is, you know, that doesn't match your values or is saying some wild stuff or say, you know, showing some inappropriate images.
Yeah, because a lot of kids, you know, like, I've been reading, you know, we on our social media page, we, you know, we'll put out some of these videos and I'm like watching these parents talk about how their kids reenact certain things, you know, certain shows. So if you don't want your kids to, you know, if they're behaving a certain way, you know, after watching a show, well, then maybe change the show, you know?
Yeah. And I think part of that too is, right, it's like your kids will emulate who they see the most when they're young, not the things that stand out. And so it's like, you should be in front of your kids more than a screen.
Right.
If you want them to emulate your values and, you know, the things that you care about the most, you need to be in front of them the most.
That's it.
Of course they're going to emulate Peppa Pig. You put Peppa Pig in front of them for 3 hours a day. And shout out to all the work at home parents.
Right,
and
right.
The reality is, like, we have some really great content. Not you and I. We don't have it, but it's available now where we can work at home. A child can sit down and watch something on screens, and we don't have to worry about them, you know,
going crazy
and doing all sorts of crazy stuff.
Right, right, right.
But at the same time, I this is a hot take. At the same time, I want my kids to watch some stuff that isn't like perfect cookie cutter for their development.
Yeah.
I'm like, I kind of want them to watch some stuff that's going to like, not like, you know, I want to be careful on how I say this. I don't want them to watch inappropriate things or things that are going to harm them. But right. I do want them to like, I don't want them to go to school and be around social environments and be like, oh yeah, I'm 7 years old and icky sicky bubblegum. Like, what the, what in the? Like, I want River to know who the Avengers are.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's like there's a certain point where it's like culturally, you stunt your children by not allowing them to experience certain things. And I'm not saying Avengers is it, but like, there's a certain point where you have to level up your social dynamic at home and begin to have those conversations. Steph just said this, my wife, when do we start talking to River about sex?
Yeah.
And I was like, well, we're out of bananas, but we have donuts. Like, do you want me to run and grab some bananas? And she's like, whoa, we don't have to go that far.
Like, oh, it's incredible. How old's River?
He's six.
Yeah.
And I already know that, people you know, in school, by first grade, people are going to start talking about, because I got introduced to stuff that, you know, I wasn't maybe, I didn't see stuff until a little bit later. But
yeah. I remember being in fifth grade, or maybe fourth. Fourth or fifth grade, we did sex education.
Yeah.
And I was, what, 9 or 10 at the time?
Yes, bro.
And so, bro, that's not too far off from, and I feel like everything is so advanced these days, and kids just know so much more because of the way that our world is, and the way that the access, you know, that they have. And so.
Can I just say this? Have you seen this YouTube Kids stuff?
I haven't.
So YouTube Kids is a subscription that you can pay. I believe it's a subscription. It might not be, but maybe it's just an app. And it's YouTube for kids. It's only kids content. So, like, you can't watch, like, Mr. Beast and all that stuff. Even though Mr. Beast is pretty, you know, innocent. It's just kids stuff. But the problem is these predators and these, like, sickos are going on and creating content that looks like it's for kids.
And it's not.
So it's like Peppa Pig in the beginning, and then it's like Peppa Pig doing coke.
That's crazy.
And so for parents, it looks like, oh, yeah, they're just on their iPads watching Peppa Pig, and Peppa Pig's over here doing a line.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dear God. Like, normal YouTube is better than YouTube Kids. I've never experienced that. Like, we don't really mess around with that. And if our kids are watching YouTube, like, we're either in the room or we're watching with them.
Yeah.
And, you know, we here's a little hack for everyone. If your kids are watching YouTube, click on a playlist. Don't click on a solo video because you don't know what the next video is going to be all the time. But if you're on a playlist, you know that the next video is going to be from the same creator that the previous one was.
Right, right. Yeah, man, it's the internet, YouTube, bro. It's just such a crazy world, man, that we're living in. And who knows where we're headed with all this stuff, man. Like, it's some scary days.
You think we're going to be in the Matrix?
I think we're in the Matrix right now.
You think so? You think we're in a simulation, honestly?
Could be. Who knows?
Who knows, dude?
Who knows? You guys, we could go to sleep one day, wake up, and be in another reality. Think about that.
Bro. I don't like that. But at the same time, if we're playing a video game, we're going to win.
We're going to win.
We're going to win.
Inception.
Dude, Inception is my favorite movie of all time.
Of all time.
Of all time.
It's a great movie.
That's a bold statement. It's up there.
Top five.
I think it's number one for me. I think Remember the Titans is like it's knocking at the door.
Three.
Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. Have you seen it?
I have not. Is it pretty good?
Bro.
It won
it is very inappropriate. It won everything, bro. It swept
but
the Academy.
When you say inappropriate, why?
I can't even say it on the podcast.
It's that bad.
It's graphic.
There's a lot of graphic to it.
There's a scene where they fight each other.
Got it.
and they fight each other with adult toys.
Got it.
And it's very inappropriate.
Yep. Okay. Yes. Now, like graphic, like John Wick is like very.
Yeah, but John graphic. Wick is like, it's an action movie. They have guns and it's and like
you expect it.
Bow and arrows. And it's like, it's an action movie, right?
You expect it.
This is like, they're fighting each other.
And it's just nasty.
With
stuff. Whips and chains.
Someone dies because he falls onto a.
A toy.
A toy.
Nice. Nice. Got it. Got it. But it won.
But it won. And,
wow.
And look, as Asian Americans, you and I, this is cool.
Yep.
You know, it's like. Look, I don't think representation should be like the. Of course, I want to be able to see myself on screen and blah, blah, blah. But I could care less, to be honest. Like, that doesn't dictate how I feel about myself.
Right.
Right. And if it does dictate how you feel about yourself, if you're listening or watching this, that's okay. I think for me, like, I have values and I have the confidence to go, hey, I believe in myself no matter what
right.
is going on. But it took me time to get there, and no shame or condemnation for wherever you are on your journey of confidence and self-assurance. But it was cool to go like, dude, this is an Asian cast.
Yeah.
And they just knocked it out of the park.
Crushed.
Crushed. And it wasn't something like Crazy Rich Asians where it was just like, you know, Asian overload. You know what I mean?
Dude, there are some, let's, speaking of Asian, there's good Asian food, but there's also good music. Shout out to the K-pop crew.
Whoa.
That has swept the music.
Smooth like butter. Did I do it right?
I think you did it right. And they can dance.
They can dance, bro.
Bro, Asian people can dance.
You can dance if you want to.
I was actually. Do you remember, like, I forget what that MTV show was called.
Tag Your Man.
No. It like came on like 8 p.m. at night, 7 p.m. at night, and the Jabberwockies were in it.
Oh,
it was on MTV, I think.
So you think you can dance? No, America's Best Dance Crew.
America's Best Dance Crew.
Dude, the Jabberwockies. Remember when Shaq came out with them?
I went nuts.
Nuts.
Nuts. There was, let me just look it up real quick here.
River is in a dance phase right now, and I showed him the Jabberwockies and like those crews, and he lost his mind. He was like, how are they? And he's like trying to, like River right now, he's 6 years old. He's doing cartwheels, one-handed cartwheels, roundoffs. He's trying to work on his aerial, all that stuff. He's just a freak athlete. And so when he sees people dancing, he's like, how do they move their bodies like that?
They did a performance called the Red Pill. You remember that when they're on the... All in the red?
Yeah. No.
America's Best Dance Crew. Oh, see. Bro, this brings back memories.
Let me see.
Hold on, let me show you real quick here. What's up, man? How you doing? When we first got the notion that we could make our own music and do our own stuff, man, we were just so excited. Now we just get to put, like, the Jabberwocky feel to everything that we're going to do in this.
Yes.
Today, we are here to make your track.
Just doing what we do. Showing people that we can ride
let me just, and hit the music so I'm going to fast forward to the dance part. But, dude, check this out, dude. These guys are...
Yo, yes, when they were wearing the red jackets.
Oh.
When ISOs were like the coolest thing in the world, bro. I remember watching this and thinking like, how can humans move like that?
I remember watching this and I wanted to be one of the guys in the mask.
No.
Dude, you can't tell me you don't want to be a dancer after seeing this.
Yo, dads, you tried dancing?
DTW, Dancing with Tom.
And Nate. Hey. All right, for those of you who are tuning in on the podcast and not on YouTube, you got to go watch the YouTube because you're missing the clip.
You are missing the clip.
Head over to YouTube. Subscribe to our YouTube channel.
Dude, because we have video now.
We got video now.
We are official.
We're doing this on another level.
Yeah, we are.
And can I also say that I've always wanted to be a dancer.
Yeah.
I feel like now that I'm 32 years old,
it's time.
It's time.
Now that you have two kids, you're married.
I don't care what people think about me anymore.
You're ready to evolve. Dance Dance Revolution.
Bro, I have a history of Dance Dance Revolution.
Did you? You were at the arcade doing those little steps.
No, you did. Never at the arcade. Okay. Let me give you a little history of myself.
Talk to me.
My son River.
Okay.
He's about 40-some pounds.
Okay.
He's 6 years old.
Yep.
He's pure energy and muscle.
Okay.
An athlete, right?
Yep.
He's got an APAC.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I had that same build when I was his age.
Okay.
Okay. I played high-level paintball.
Yep.
All throughout my childhood.
Yep.
When I quit, I gained. Okay?
Okay.
I gained about 25 pounds. Something crazy.
Nothing crazy right? yet.
But I was a little bit, you know.
Had some fluff to it.
Yeah, had some fluff.
But not thick.
No, not thick. But my mom, for my birthday 1 year, was like, yo, I saw this game, Dance Dance Revolution.
Yeah.
She bought it for me at home.
Okay.
On the original Xbox.
Yep.
At the pad and everything.
Okay. So you're hitting
the steps. So to lose weight, I would come home. Put it on 2x speed on expert and play until I burned 600 calories every day.
How fast is it?
Oh, it's like dun 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 dun. And I, dude, I could close my eyes and do it. I was so good at Dance Dance Revolution. The problem is, if you ever went to a club or any type of dancing event and try to dance like you did at on Dance Dance Revolution,
it does not translate.
You'd be looking like a fool.
It doesn't translate.
You'd be looking like a fool.
Pity a fool.
Or as our good friend Aaron Eisman would say, look at your life.
When was the last time you've been to a club?
Oh, actually, we went to a club together, Tommy.
Yep.
You and I.
Yeah.
You know, we're big clubbers.
No. Clubbers.
I'm a photographer on the side, and some of our good friends, they throw a huge show, once a month, and they asked if I could come shoot it for their Halloween, and it was like a proper, you know, yeah, we were like, dude, what is happening? Like, this is insane.
Bro, it feels like as the generation like keeps going, that scene gets crazier and crazier and crazier. Like, it was crazy when we were like,
yeah,
like,
dude, the other cool thing about this club is that it was primarily all Asian Pacific Islanders.
Yes.
It was just like a bunch of Filipino, Vietnamese, Japanese kids.
Felt like I was home.
Yeah, I was like, yo.
Look, I think there's my cousin.
I was like, you guys smell that? It smells like fried food and lumpia. What is that? Yo, did someone just spill some pho on the floor?
But I will say this, bro. Asian people, man, they know what they're doing.
I just saw this clip, and this is crazy. It was a clip that said that Koreans, South Koreans, drink more alcohol on average. Oh, our good friend Ginny Park. She posted this.
Okay.
They drink an average of 13 and a half shots. I can't remember.
Like when they're out?
Yeah, it's like on every outing. I have to look at the exact
13 and a half shots.
It's the highest, the culture that drinks the most liquor in the world. But they also have a 52-hour work week. So imagine you're working that long. You got to.
Dude, if I was working 52 hours a week, and I'm drinking 13 and a half shots, and I'm not going to lie to you, man. I think I'll be dead. You guys, by shot two after 52-hour work week, you guys, I'm gone.
Look, as someone who's never had more than maybe a shot and a half at a time.
Yep.
If I had 13 and a half shots, Tommy, look, that's the average.
Yeah.
So what's the number on the top end?
Yeah, I don't know.
20?
I will say this.
If I had 5 shots, I don't know if I would.
You make it.
I don't know if I'd wake up the next day.
Yeah. The most shots I've ever had, and I'm not proud of it, but I'm telling you because we're talking about this. I was 18. Mm. And obviously not legal.
Yeah, what? Yo.
But, you know, as you're young, you're dumb, and you think you're, you know.
The cool thing to do would be to drink.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And, you know, thankfully I'd had a mom who I could really trust and be honest with. And one of her values and principle was she always wanted to keep an eye on me when I'm like, if I was kind of doing that stuff. Now, she didn't want me to, but she was like, if you're going to do it, like, I need to be around you. And yeah. So she allowed me to throw a party. And was there drinking involved? I'm not going to say yes or no, because I don't want this
said,
to.
You just said you already.
No, I didn't say that. I said I drank on my 18th birthday. But
you said when I was 18.
Yeah, when I was 18.
This wasn't then, though.
This wasn't then.
Okay, okay.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
You tracking?
Yeah, I'm tracking.
Okay. And so we throw a party, and I remember going, my cousins, who I hadn't seen in a while, were in town, and we're in my garage, and they're like, oh, man, like, we're going to set this thing up for you. We're going to totally, like, it's going to be great. Well, dude, they set up all these shots in a row. By, like, shot five, shot six.
You're gone.
Gone. Bro, we're an hour into this party, and, bro, there's probably over 100 people at my house. This is an average-size house.
Yeah.
There's people inside, outside, in the backyard, in the front yard. It's a rager. I cash out at, like, 10:30 at night, and the party is going on without me, you guys. I wake up that morning, and I'm in my front lawn. Hungover. Not kidding. Hungover. What? I was blacked out for so long.
Yeah.
Thank God that I survived that night. But, bro, I'm telling you, I'm never... All that to say is that I can't handle shots.
You didn't mess around like that after.
What? No, yeah. You guys ever drank so much that you're like, when you see like a liquor bottle or an alcohol bottle and you're like wanting to throw up? I was like,
jeez,
like alcohol poisoning. Like I was like, no, I'm good.
Well, one time, okay. This podcast is going somewhere.
Yeah, it's going somewhere.
Okay, someone once said that this is like Friday night out with the guys. Having some drinks, okay? There's no drinks here except for Premier Protein.
Yeah, and what's in this cup? Nothing, just for decor.
We were at a paintball tournament in Vegas,
yep.
And one of my teammates got so drunk, and so he passed out. We put him in the bathtub.
Yeah.
Just, like, to lay there. Got him some pillows and blankets and stuff, and... You know, maybe like an hour and a half later, we hear him like, like moaning. Or like,
yeah.
What the heck? We go good. Into the bathroom, bro. And do you remember like those old school Pert Plus green, like combo conditioner and shampoo, like the big ones, the Costco ones, right? Because we were traveling, right?
Oh no!
And so there was maybe like four of us in there, and like we got it for the week or whatever for everyone to use. And we go in, and he's like, oh.
He's just drinking it.
Bro, he has Pert Plus down the side of his mouth. The bottle's empty. He chugged it, bro.
Thinking it was water?
He was that gone, bro. Blacked out. And he's just, oh, just throwing up the rest of the night. Like, we didn't. Like, oh, I'm no. Like, dude, we should have taken him to the hospital.
Yeah, bro.
A bottle of Pert Plus?
That's poison.
Jeez. Like, the fact that it didn't kill him, I'm kind of like, oh, maybe there's some natural stuff in there. Maybe I should start using it again.
Like, that's the only takeaway that we got from that night, man. It's just, it could be natural.
Tommy, how do you feel about, in the future,
mm-hmm.
I'm coming up on this already a little bit, like, how do you feel about your kids spending the night at other people's houses?
Yeah, right now, I think naturally it's a no.
Yeah.
I think that, I don't know, man.
Anybody's house?
I think there's exceptions, like
family. Yeah.
You know, but friends, I think right now it's tough because I hear so many like horror stories of like just, you know, things going wrong. And
did you ever do horrible stuff at friends' houses when you spend the night?
Yeah, we got into trouble all the time.
See, what are you talking about? That's what I'm saying.
But like the trouble that I feel like kids cause now is kind of a little bit different from when I was like, I would be like, hey, mom, I'm spending the night at Dave's house. And she's like, all right, cool. Bro, I get to his house and we're on our bikes.
We're going to go TP a house or something.
Yeah, like egging people's house.
Yeah, egging people's houses.
TPing or, you know, or just be out late, like past curfew. And at bro, during the time that I was like, I remember we had a curfew in our state. I believe.
Wow.
Like there was, like if you were under the age of like,
no way,
16 or something. I don't know, maybe or yeah. whatever, Michigan. Whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
In Michigan,
maybe because it got so cold that like, people would like die or something.
No,
like that.
It was summertime. We're 11. Oh. I think a cop would pull us over if they saw an 11-year-old on a bike past midnight.
Yeah, I mean they should.
Right.
They should pull them over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only reason why I remember that was because we did get chased by a cop before.
Yeah.
In that age. And we're riding bikes through the streets and just trying to escape them. Never got caught, man.
Such an adrenaline rush.
But yeah, I don't know, man. I just don't want to allow like our boys to, I just don't want to open that door right now, I think, in my mind. So yeah, that's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah. It's like you have a 2-year-old and you have some time. I remember thinking about this when River was 2. And now that he's 6, I'm still like, man. There's just such risk. You know, it's not that it's like a high probability that something traumatic is going to happen. But if it does happen and I had the chance to prevent it and I didn't.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And it's like.
Like people are messed up, bro.
There's going to be people on both sides that says, oh, like you're way overprotective on this whole thing. And
yeah.
Then I think that there are sometimes where I'm like, dude, well. I don't know, man. I think as a parent now, and now that I have the responsibility in taking care of my kids and making sure that I want them to see the right things. I want them to do the right things. And I know that they're going to mess up in life for sure.
Yeah.
But if I can prevent some of this stuff right now so that they don't ever have to embrace some of this stuff, because there are things that, bro, like we saw, we heard, we did that
right,
I think
right.
marked us for, and did we turn out okay? Sure. But I don't think that's the point.
Right.
The point of the matter is I want to walk with them as they're going through this and kind of getting ahead of this whole situation.
And I don't want to, look, we get these type of comments all the time. Well, when I was a kid, my dad did this and it worked for me. When I was a kid, my dad hit me with his belt. And now look at me, I'm a respectable adult. And it's like, as if the goal is for our kids to be the same as us. My goal is not for my kids to be like me.
That's it.
My goal is for my kids to pass me up so early, so fast, to have stronger values, better morals, a bigger bank account, bigger muscles, more achievements. And none of that stuff really matters. I just want them to achieve at a higher level than I did in their confidence, in who they believe themselves to be.
You know, right.
If I can save them from that and equip them to live a life that I couldn't live, I don't want to live vicariously through them or anything like that. I want them to have what I couldn't have.
That's it. Yeah. You're so right when you say, you know, like as if the baseline is us. You know, I don't want them to be like me. No. I don't. I want them to be better.
Right.
They're thinking to elevate. Everything about their lives should be elevated to a higher degree because we're instilling everything that we know into them. And I think right now there's so much resource.
Yeah.
There's so many things that we're able to teach them.
That's right.
And so, I don't know, man. I do think it irks me sometimes, though, when I do see comments like that. It gets me going a little bit.
Yeah. And look, we did this whole tantrum clip, right? And it was like, 3 things to do when your kid has a tantrum. Like, number one, let them breathe. You know, like, I can't remember exactly what they were. We could pull it up. But it's like, when your kid has a tantrum, the goal is not for them to change their behavior.
Right.
Your goal is to reestablish a connection with them so you can teach them how to process their emotions properly afterwards. Like you've seen my kids yesterday were so sleep deprived, right? We had a big weekend.
Yep.
You know, they stayed up late over and over. We had a lot of fun. We celebrated a lot of stuff. And they were just past the point of emotional stability,
right?
Yep. Like these kids were past the point. They were so tired, they had a hard time going to bed,
right?
Which is really rare for us. But when they're in that state, the hardest thing that you can do is be like, okay, a 3-year-old, we know you have big emotions, but let's think about this logically. Let's begin to process our emotions as if we're adults. And the problem is they don't know how to process our emotions. Adults don't know how to freaking process their emotions.
Dude, I have a
hard
time.
Are you kidding me?
I have a hard time processing my emotions when I'm hungry.
Yo, What are we talking about? Dude, if we have a hard day at work, we say crazy stuff. If we're hungry, we say crazy stuff. If adults were so good at processing their emotions, substance abuse would be non-existent.
Right.
Addiction would be non-existent. Obesity would be non-existent. Gyms would be populated every day. American health would be through the roof because, you know, adults are so good at handling their emotions, we can just do whatever we logically think is good. But that's not the case. We are all idiots. We all suck at processing our emotions. And then we go, hey, three-year-old, be better than all of us.
Yeah.
And if you don't, I'm going to hit you.
Yeah.
What kind of sick thinking is that?
Right.
That's the way I used to think.
Yeah.
I had to relearn and reprocess because that's how I grew up. That, you know, we kind of grew up in like, hey, if you don't do what I tell you to do when I tell you to do it, you're going to get hit.
Spanked.
And so we change our behavior, but we don't develop the emotional stability to actually make good decisions later on.
Yeah. That's so good. You know, I do remember being spanked so often, you know, when I was younger, and there was so much like fear, you know, as I'm growing up, like I, you know, it's like, yeah, did I learn like not to like act out? But it felt like now that I think about it, it was just like suppressing all these feelings and all these emotions. I think as I got older, it's like, I don't want to have to wait till I get to a certain age to relearn all that stuff over again while I can try to do the hard work in raising my kids the proper way. So that by the time they are old enough, they don't have to relearn, oh, daddy didn't mean to hit me when he was like that because he was just frustrated. You know, like, I would rather have them learn at an early age, hey, this is actually... I know you're acting out right now, but I know that this is not what you mean. You know, kids have you know, I was reading like all these, you know, obviously with our social media channel, all this, there's always like new people that they suggest you to follow
articles or whatever.
Yeah. And so there was like a post that like popped up the other day that talked about how toddlers, cause you know, every so often, dude, I do kind of like lose my mind sometimes with our kids.
Like I said, we don't know how to process our emotions perfectly.
Yeah. And so it said that like toddlers have a hard time expressing themselves or know what they even want.
Yeah.
And so it's like for me, understanding, like I remember the last time I read that post and then LJ had a, you know, he had kind of a fit. It kind of just changed my perspective a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, I was just kind of reminded like, dude, he's two.
He's two.
He doesn't know.
But Tommy, he should know. He's 2 years old. He can open his eyes.
Yeah.
He can. Like, what are we talking about? He's two years old.
It's bizarre to expect them to understand a certain behavior or, you know, and I think that's all in the process of learning and parenting and setting boundaries. And sure, I believe in all that. But like to expect a kid to be this way by this age is crazy to me.
Yeah. And I will say most of those comments are from two people who don't have kids or parents who aren't around their kids.
Exactly.
You know, it's like if you're a really present parent, then you understand what we're talking about. Kids are not, they don't just, you know, A equals B equals C. Sometimes when kids have a big emotions, it's like A plus B equals
Z.
Yeah. A plus B equals 7. It's like, whoa, we're not even in the letters anymore. You know, it's like, you know, some kid might be like, I want chicken nuggets. And you give them chicken nuggets and like, I said I wanted a burger. And you're like, I swear, kid.
Bro, I tell you what, speaking of that, there was moments where I would get frustrated. Here I am, you know, I'm thinking, man, I'm going to crush lunch today for the boys. So I'm like setting up the nuggets. I'm setting up maybe the those Cheetos, like the puff, you know?
Oh, yeah. Like the Trader Joe's ones?
Cut up some strawberries for him, give him some colors on the plate, you know, give it to him. Doesn't take one bite. And I'm like,
I swear. You're offended.
I'm mad. I'm so mad, man. I spent so much time. Yeah. We spent money on this grocery. You should eat this food, boy. Does he eat it? No.
No.
Kids are going to be kids.
Yeah.
I can't figure them out. That's one day he eats it, one day he doesn't. You know what? But who cares?
Right.
I laugh, bro. There's a, this reminds me of an episode on Bluey.
Yep.
Takeaway.
Of course. Right. Takeout.
Takeout.
Yeah.
Is it takeout or takeaway?
I don't remember, but
I want to say it's takeaway.
I just watched it, and on the sign it says takeout.
I'm going to find it because we have YouTube right here.
Yayo. Shout out to all the Bluey parents out there. Someone commented on one of our posts.
Takeaway.
They said, dang it.
Yeah.
Good job. Someone just commented on one of our posts and they said, whenever I see you, you look like Bluey's dad.
Bandit.
And I was like, dang, what a compliment.
That's kind of dope.
Yeah. I'll take that. Shoot.
But takeaway, you know, on this episode, pretty much like they go through the whole, you know, episode with, you know, them pretty much waiting for their food and the kids are being kids.
Right.
You know, they're getting to the food, all the food spills at the end of this episode. And, you know, the bandit's really having a hard time. And then he opens this fortune cookies and he, like, it says something about, like, I think what you could take away is from, it just pretty much says, like, kids are only going to be young once.
Yeah.
And embrace so, like, it type thing. Embrace it type thing. And then, like, Bandit has a moment where he's like, dude, I'm just going to let the kids be the kids. And so he lets them play in the water because that's what they originally wanted to do in the beginning.
Yeah.
And so you got to think.
I love that.
Kids are going to, you're never going to get these moments back.
Right.
And, you know, I see all these videos on Instagram all the time, you know, and it kind of, like, gets me sad because it is true. The next time that I get frustrated, I'm always thinking, like, dude, I just need to connect with my son. I just want to just be here with him. He's we're going to leave my home one day and he's going to go off and do his own thing. I don't know. There's going to be hard days.
Yeah.
I'll embrace her for now.
There's going to be hard days. There's going to be easy days and then hard nights. You know, it's like, absolutely. You know, something that we're talking about, you know, we're talking about essentially not hitting, not spanking, you know, and I just want to, like, bring some clarity to that. A lot of people think that that's soft parenting. You know, it's not soft parenting, though. It really takes hard work and effort. It's much more difficult in my experience. Having been a parent who used to spank his kids pretty often, you know, that would be like a, hey, if you do this, then this is what's going to be the result. Okay, you chose to be spanked because you knew the consequence. You know, it's like now doing it the other way, where I have to be emotionally available and vulnerable and talk through the decisions that we've made together and keep consequences and discipline consistent that don't require spanking.
Yeah.
It's much more difficult, but it brings much more actual change. You know, I don't want to talk down to any parent who is raising their kid, you know, with a physical consequence. I totally understand, right? Don't spare the rod, all that stuff. At the same time, like, is it really working to instill the values that you want your children to have?
Right.
Or is it creating a fear-based culture that's having your children change their behaviors and not their actual attitudes? I don't know. In my experience, it's the former that works. Connecting, explaining, rewarding versus building fear, condemning, and causing pain. Sounds like a recipe for trauma, personally.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying that you shouldn't. My kids need to have a healthy fear of me. Healthy fear, right? If I wanted to, I could end my children. Like, that's crazy to think about. I could just end my children. Praise God. I love them.
Yeah. Right?
But it's like, that's a crazy power to ability to have.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm in control of these kids' lives and how they grow up. And I don't want them to be fearful of me in a way that they're scared. I want them to be fearful in a way that they go, wow, my dad is powerful and he chooses to love me and take care of me instead of hurt me and harm me.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I've seen it both ways too. You know, being on the other side of being able to receive the spankings, and you know, and then, you know, since LJ has been born, I can actually say that I haven't spanked him.
Yeah, you he's know, perfect, like, though.
He's not.
I'm kidding,
bro. Man, he pushes me to the limits.
Yeah,
he does.
Yeah.
He, and he's boundaries right now where he's testing everything.
Of course,
he drops his food and then he looks at me immediately.
Mm-hmm.
What you gonna do,
LJ? Don't do that. LJ, okay. Bop. Yeah, what are you going to do, Dad?
Yeah, exactly. But I will say it does take a lot more patience. But I do love what you're saying about like the connection piece. You know, there's something to be said about taking the time to really do the hard work. You guys, parenting yeah. isn't easy.
No.
Like, and I will say, man, there are so many times where I wanted to like lash out and like, you know, I think it would be easier to spank them.
Yeah.
But anytime that I feel like I've gotten there, I don't know if I would ever walk away being like, man, I'm glad I spanked them.
Yeah. Well, I've never felt good about spanking my kids.
Going, oh, yeah, man. They
That felt so good. What? That, you leave going like, dang, I'm
horrible. I'm a horrible parent.
Yeah.
I hate.
That felt horrible.
Like, dude, even when I get mad at him, like, I'm like, you know, he does he, like, when I get frustrated at Levi, bro, there's times and there's moments where, and I'm like working through that stuff myself too, because I want to be stern enough to have him understand values. I do. Yeah. I want to be patient. I want to be calm. And but I'm a human. So I do get frustrated, you know, and I get a sense that he does feel it.
Yeah.
But dude, it doesn't leave me feeling good. And that's not even hitting him.
No.
You know? And so
exactly.
I feel that weight of like, gosh, man, how does he view me right now? Does he know that I love him? And I'm sure he does. You know, we absolutely are in love with our boys and we want to raise up the right kids. But speaking of this whole situation, you know, I think that, you know, we're, you know, we haven't done it yet, but I don't think we will. I want to do the hard work as a parent to really, you know, practice what I'm preaching.
Right.
You know, I want to develop, like, I want these boys to be healthy, have a really cool connection. I didn't have that growing up. I didn't totally. Have that with my dad. I didn't have that, you know, that whole piece right there. So I want, right. now that I actually have it, I'm able to see it happen all unfold right before my eyes. I want to do it different.
So cool.
You know?
Yeah. And I think that's the key, right? Is we have a chance to do things different. Everything you didn't like about your childhood, you have the ability and the opportunity to try to make things different. Because we're the dads who try. We try to do things better than was done to us. I love my mom. She was an incredible parent.
Yeah.
Incredible. Mom and dad role. She crushed it out of the park. And I want to do even better than that. And I think that honors her and honors my parents is doing it better than they did it. Because yeah. it shows that what they did paid off.
That's right.
So I hope you're out there and maybe you're listening or you're watching and it's like, man, I feel so lost or I feel like a failure. Well, welcome to the club.
Yeah.
You know, that is an emotion and those are statements that I feel often and have to work through often and have to remind myself that that's not the case. And there's resources and people out there. But the most important part about it is even in failure, if you keep on showing up, if you don't quit, you win.
That's it. Just keep showing up.
We love you so much, Dads Who Try. Welcome to the first of many YouTube
video formats.
Make sure and subscribe and send it to a friend.
Let's go.
We're out of here.
Hey, this is Dads Who Try, dog. This is Dads Who Try. Team no sleep, baby. Dads Who Try.